We are excited to be continuing our Optimus Creed series about the Optimus Creed, which is an inspiration and motivation statement of value that Optimus clubs around the world use to close their meeting. It is my pleasure to welcome my good friend, Mr. Danny Rogers, International President from 2010 to 2011. Danny, thanks for being on the podcast with us today.
Sean, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
You know, the first time I got to meet Danny was in a little town called Wolf Point, Montana, when you flew on an 8-seater passenger plane from Billings to Wolf Point, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Talk about a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
It was frightening, Shane, and I just called you Sean. I said that wrong. It's frightening. Do you want to know why it's frightening?
I would love to know why it's frightening.
Okay, so when you reach a certain age as a man, you have to make sure that you don't walk past the bathroom without taking advantage of it. I didn't realize it was an 8-person plane with no bathroom. And so I was terrified the entire way on that airplane, which fortunately was not long. Fortunately, when I saw the lights of the city, I was most relieved. Most relieved.
Thankfully, you didn't have to hold it and have a little accident on the plane or something.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so embarrassing. Wow.
So, Danny, one of the things we talk about on our podcast is the Optimus story that you have. And your story obviously starts as a member, but tell us how you became a member and then your journey to be Optimus International President.
You know, Shane, as I have thought about this and anticipated being here with you today, I realized that my Optimus story is really a story about people. It's about people that I met along the way that I look back and I realize, but far having been an optimist all these years, I would never probably have met so many amazing people. So the first one was a gentleman named Bob McGrath, and Bob was an attorney and was later a judge. And I took over his legal practice, and he told me, there's this club that you need to join. It will be good for your business. And so I said, okay. So I go and I joined this club, and it was the Optimus Club, and it was not particularly good for my business, but it was really good for me, really good for me. And that was, I think, 1986, 85 or 86, something like that. So that was the beginning. I joined the Breakfast Optimus Club of East Fort Worth. We refer to it as BEFWA by the initials. And BEFWA, by the way, was meant as an insult by a good friend, but we adopted it anyway. You know, and from there, I have a lot of people I could talk about. Tons of people that impacted my life and set me on the path that brought me to where I am today. So you tell me, if you want to hear those stories, I'll tell those stories.
Let's talk about when you were a member, your journey to be club president.
Okay. You know, I joined, and like I said, the gentleman that introduced me to it said it'd be good for your business. So I was faithful to go, but I was not particularly interested in leadership positions. And so I kind of held back on that. And I want to say that it was, I participated. I showed up at the events, that sort of thing. And got my wife, Jill, involved. She stood by me all the way through, and then the kids later. But I didn't really, leadership was not anything I was particularly interested in at the time. But it really, it just came to be my turn. It was a great club. It is a great club. And large numbers, and we went for decades without anybody repeating as president. And so after 6 or 7 years, I consented and agreed that I would do that. And it was good. I enjoyed it. And when I got to the end of the year, we do the big banquet and all that sort of stuff and fancy restaurant downtown, that sort of thing. And so after that, and I was packing up my stuff, and probably one of the most influential people in my life, a gentleman named Ralph Waller. And Ralph was Optimus Supreme. And he came up to me and said, we have decided that you need to become a lieutenant governor. I never asked him who the we was, but he kind of used it like it's the royal we. And when Ralph asked you to do something, if there was any possible way, I wanted to do it. So it did, not that immediate year after being president, but the next year. He ran my campaign. We adopted Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as the theme. And we launched that the next year and took my way up through the offices, various district offices. Loved it. Once I got going to district meetings, I loved it. But at first, it was kind of like, seriously? You're going to give up a whole weekend to go hang out with these people? But I did, and I grew to love it. And that's where I began to meet more and more and more people. One thing about being president, I remember one of the very first, probably the first district meeting as president, there was another man and his wife, Roddy and Beverly Ryan. And Roddy was our secretary treasurer for a long time. You know, we always teach you shouldn't have the same secretary treasurer for too many years. Well, Roddy did it for at least 30 years. But in any event, we were at this meeting. I don't remember specifically where it was, but someone asked who I was. And before I could say anything, Beverly Ryan, who is an angel, she said, "He's ours." And that struck me in such a way. It was like I really belonged, and she meant it that way. And she and Roddy, Ralph, and his wife Joyce became the most amazing friends and mentors. And three of them are gone now. Beverly just passed away this week. But amazing, amazing people that made me and my families feel so welcome and so a part of our club and ultimately Optimus International. So you go through that and you're lieutenant governor. And again, my theme was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And we had a really good time, enjoyed that. Did a couple of district things. But what I was got to a point that I decided the governor was what I wanted to do. And it was my choice. And I remember I announced early because that's one of my theories. If you announce early and loud, you'll back off anybody else that might run against you. So that worked. And to be truthful, Shane, the year that I was governor is my favorite Optimus year. Lots of opportunities since, lots of good things since, but I had an absolute blast. I had a great team of lieutenant governors. You probably have heard of some of them. Ken Garner was one of my lieutenant governors. Patsy Garner, or then Patsy Hudson, was one of my lieutenant governors. We had the greatest year. Debbie Kennecke was my secretary treasurer and kept me legal and within the lines. It was a blast. It was absolutely the best. And did a lot of stuff. Had the first distinguished year we'd had in a long time. I think I had 6 lieutenant governors that were distinguished. I was distinguished and outstanding only because I had such an amazing, amazing, amazing team. From there, made our way into committees. First committee I was on, international, was governance. I think it was Bob Garner's appointment. Again, Bob and Tony Garner, amazing people. I think that was the first one. And Rebecca Butler-Mona was the chair of governance. And she had, to tell you how long ago it was, she had literally, the governance committee in those days met in January after the first board meeting. Typically in St. Louis, well, Rebecca had her daughter, Amanda, who graduated from college this year, had just had her like in October or November. And so the committee, we flew to Des Moines, Iowa in January and had our meeting. And it was cool. It was epic. That's where I met Dave Bruns for the first time. Dana Thomas was the liaison from staff, and she flew up there. We ended the meeting with a dinner at Becky and Mike's house, and Becky playing the piano and us singing together. And I tell you, I've had the most amazing opportunity. Served on that committee for a while, then got to be a vice president. Yves Bertillon was president, and he's as wild and crazy as you've heard. It's so much fun. So much fun. Back when we were governors, I met Essie Johnson. She was a governor with me, and we were partners all the way through that. Jim Hubbard and his wife Sherry were president. Amazing people. Sherry's sister Terry would come as well. Amazing people. served as vice president under Eve, loved it. Bruns was the vice president at the same time. Essie was the vice president at the same time. And then I got to be chair of governance for a couple of years. And then I kind of let it be known that the only other office I was interested in was president. One day I get a call from Bill Teague. I knew the committee was meeting, and the phone rang. It was Bill Teague and telling me that the committee wanted to nominate me for president. And I was excited to get to do it. Loved doing it. It was hard. Probably the hardest I've done, because I was working full-time as a judge and doing a lot of traveling on the weekends. We did a thing called parallel district conferences where rather than individual district meetings that first quarter, we tried to persuade the districts to come together for one big meeting in each of the districts and in each of the regions, excuse me. And that worked well in some and not as well in others. But it was pretty amazing. I remember being up in French Canada with about 800 or 900 Canadians speaking primarily French, but it was the greatest thing. Oh my gosh, we had so much fun. So that takes me through 10, 11. There's another 12 years, but.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed when I've been doing these podcasts, and it's pretty resident throughout everything, that there's always somebody there to kind of say, you should do this, to push you to where you need to be, to almost be too strong to for fear, which is what we're talking about today in living that tenet of the creed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had those people all along the way. I mentioned Ralph Waller earlier. The year I was governor, and I would see him regularly. Our club meets weekly, or did, and he rarely saw me that he didn't tell me how proud he was of me. And it was just an amazing, he would have done anything to help me be successful. And then Roddy Ryan, Jim Hubbard, Keith Bodine, he was my vice president when I was governor. And I didn't have just one vice president when I was the governor. I decided I needed more. Because Ronnie Dunn was a vice president that year. Rebecca Butler-Mona was a vice president. So I just grafted myself into their regions. And it was kind of unheard of, but then that's kind of me. encouraged all along the way, encouraged by staff in St. Louis, by Stephanie Monchin, Dana, so many people. But yeah, always people. I always didn't need a lot of encouragement. I kind of knew what I wanted my next step to be, and I would step out there and make it known. Ken and Patsy been supportive. Jill's been supportive every single step of the way. Paul Lucas, another good friend from here in Texas. He's the one that gave us the Bethwa name, by the way. He's out in Odessa. Always people. It was always a team. It was always, we were Team North Texas when I served as governor. And there was always people that were ready and willing to step up and be a part of the team. Always. I think that's the only way to be successful. In my own career as a judge, which really took off after I was president, I've served as a judge for almost 27 and a half years, and I'm retiring at the end of this calendar year. But I was the jail judge when I was all the way through president. And then shortly after that, I got promoted to deputy chief, and then 5 years later to chief. But I've always had people that stepped up beside me and supported me. Couldn't have been gotten to do any of it without those people, most primarily my wife and my kids. My kids loved being, when we were governor, which was 98-99, and we would do the big banquet. And so for the fourth quarter of the convention, Essie flew in from Tennessee just to help me finish strong, Essie Johnson. Rebecca Butler-Mona was my rep. And we did a double head table, and I put all my lieutenant governors up there at the head table and made a big deal about them. I told my kids, I said, we're going to put you at this table right in front. And my son looked at me and goes, oh, no, you're not. We get to sit at the head table, too. I had gotten used to being at the head table. So I have always, Shane, been blessed with people that supported me, encouraged me, walked beside me.
And one of the things that you said that resonated a lot too with a lot of these interviews is to be happy to permit the presence of trouble. And when you're having fun and you're doing something that we really enjoy, there really isn't a time not to be happy when we're having fun at these conventions and doing all this optimist stuff together.
I mean, and it's the truth. I mean, we would, when I was governor, we set aside Friday night. We would do what we call the Howdy Party. And then after that, I set aside time. I made sure that we had time just for me and my lieutenant governors from my first team. I called them, and I got that from Jim Hubbard. My first team was my lieutenant governors, my secretary treasurer, and my wife. And we would, wherever we were, we would find a room, whether it was a hotel room, we'd cram in there. And we would spend an hour or two just together, just laughing, having a good time, anticipating what was going to come over the weekend, just to make sure that I wanted to make sure that they were enjoying what they were doing. And I wanted to be able to do that. And that just gave us so much freedom. Yeah, to be too happy. But what are you going to do? I mean, why do it? There's too many other things to do with your life if you can't have fun and be happy. That's what I always said a successful district meeting is. You know, you learn something you can put to work on Monday morning. It was worth the money and time that you spent to be there. And you had fun. If you can't do those things, what the heck? Go do something else. Life is too short.
And being in part of Optimist International, we have a lot of fun, especially at a club level when you get to know. And as I always tell people, and my mom used this phrase very to sum up my optimism career, it's my optimist family, my second family.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I have multiple families, but Optimist is certainly one of them. And that honestly is that. That's the pool year after year to go to international convention and just to be around those people. One of my favorite things since becoming a past president is the time that we would always have a suite together that we would share again, just a room where we could eat together and be together with past presidents and sit there with some of the guys and now ladies and just share stories. And probably the same stories we've told for years, but we love them. I mean, Don Arnwine, who was not a member of our club at the time he was president, but is now and just is a jewel and just someone we love and care about and grateful to still have him close where we can visit and see each other. But yeah, what's the point? If you can't have a good time, there are too many other things to do, but we do. And we like what we love about international and out of leadership, out of any real role, committee chair, done all that, and it's time for someone else to do those things. And I'm a big believer in that, too. Leadership, there should be a season for that, and then you need to move out of the way to make sure other people have an opportunity that they get to move up into those roles and do those things. I'm so super proud of Tracy. Got to know her early in her Optimist career in a training event, if I remember correctly, in St. Louis. Liked her then, love her now, and so proud of her.
You know, Danny, one of the things we talk about Optimist International President, it is a very demanding job, but it is a very fun job. But is there a memory that would, when you were OI president, that really sticks out in your memory that was like your favorite thing that happened to you that year?
Oh, gosh. The night I got elected, that was a convention, and we went to Disney World. And I remember laying there looking at the fireworks, thinking how cool this next year was going to be. I would say more than just a single event, because like I said, we did those parallel district conferences in the fall. So Joe and I traveled, I want to say, 8 weeks in a row to these hyper district meetings, which would have multiple districts there. And it was just fun. They were so excited for us to be there. And we were excited to be there to meet people we had never met before. That's what I loved the most, was just to get to meet people and spend time with them and encourage them. They didn't need me to tell them what to do. They knew what to do. They knew what was important in their communities, and they knew how to make that successful with the youth of their communities. And then they were excited to be able to share that with us. So I really can't, I mean, Shane, I don't think of a single moment. It was just every time we would come together, it was fun. It was fun. Because we celebrated what we did. We celebrated what districts were doing. Because I'm a big believer that Optimus happens best at the club level. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we get to make a difference in kids' lives. Yeah, we can meet together. And the other's necessary. I'm not arguing that. But what you guys do in your home club, Uptown, that's what makes a difference. You get to see the kids one-on-one, face-to-face. You get to be in their schools. You get to do fundraisers, whatever the club does. That's where it matters. I'm doing a mentoring program that started this fall at my old elementary school. And I have a fourth grader that is my mentee. And it's incredible to walk into my old elementary school. When I tell them that I went to elementary school, they look at me like I'm crazy. Because it's literally, I'm 67. So that's literally 56, 57 years ago. But just to have that one-on-one with him, and that's the focus of this whole, it's called Academy 4. Really cool. Very well done. All I have to do is show up and hang with my kid for an hour and a half. That's the big difference. And I think that's the focus we always have to keep in our minds, is how are we affecting our local communities? What difference are we making there? Because that's, to me, that's what it's all about.
That program sounds like it makes you too happy to permit the presence of trouble by that. That I'm sure those kids have outlooks on life that we would never even think to have.
Oh, it's so great. I mean, they're so great. I mean, they're young and enthusiastic, and they have so much ahead of them. Yeah, that's cool. And, same with my grandkids, just to be able to, part of the reason I'm retiring, I'm going to be able to pour into them. They're 10, 6, almost 7, and 3, and then we have one that lives with Jesus. But they're amazing. We got to see them this last weekend for a little bit of time and pour into them and the positivity. And they were all born after I was president, so they don't have any idea about that stuff.
I've been very blessed last year because Jenna, my oldest daughter, has started a Joy Club. And I have got to do work side by side with her like she did with me when I was president of my club.
Yeah.
So this has been a fun journey for me.
Absolutely. And she's an amazing kid. And I love your story. I love so much your story and how just your heart and how you're open to share that with others. I remember when we first met, and hadn't been long, and we were sharing stories with each other. So no, I'm proud of you, and I'm so grateful to know her. And now you have a little bitty one as well, a sister.
Who just turned a year.
Yeah, that's cool. And a beautiful bride.
Just taking all of her walking on her own and taking it in strides.
Yeah. Watch out. You will blink your eyes and turn around and they'll both be grown. I'm telling you.
Which, Danny, that when we live this tenet of the creed and we sit here and talk about our families and our stories, it does make us want to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, and too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble, because it is amazing how our optimist lives intertwine with our family lives and they just become one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you see it. My son is a football coach, and I'll brag on him for a bit. The athletic director at the Methodist Children's Home in Waco. It's a great job for him. And in part of that, he coaches six-man football, which if you're not familiar with, it's just too much fun. We're a Friday Night Lights family. But his team is actually going to state championship this next Saturday. And it's fun to watch him. I remember because they can't see me because we're just audio, but I use my hands a lot when I talk. And I remember watching him talk to his team after games. And I'm like, why is he using his hands? And Jill just looked at me. Seriously? And then I realized I was doing the same thing. So they, and I say all that to say this, our children pick up on so much of what we do. They become like us, the way we speak, the way we talk, the way we communicate. And coming from an optimistic standpoint has a huge effect on our children. My daughter's a rider. She lost herself out 2 years ago in a on her own. You know, she works, she has various clients that she works for. This day and age, a lot of it's over the internet, but the courage to do that, you know, to stand beside her in her fear and walk beside her and say, we'll get through this together. We're good. We're good. To see my son with his family. And like I said, I mentioned we have I have a grandson that passed away at 6 months. And as horrible as that is, and there's no other word for it, it's just rough. But you see the positivity and the optimism that comes through that. We happen to be Christian, and so we believe that we will see him again and hang on to that hope. But to see your own children do those things, and you will see it in yours. You probably already see it in Jenna at her age now, but you will continue to see that as your children grow. And so I think being a part of the Optimist organization benefits our families, you know, and my wife has been a part of it as well. So we've all maintained that attitude and strived to stay positive and look for the sunny side of everything and make our optimism come true to talk about another part of the creed. But yeah, all of those things. And don't be afraid. Don't worry. Worry doesn't help you any. Don't get
worry, and just makes it worse.
It just makes it worse, and it's a waste of time. You know, anger, and probably for the most part, is not a good thing. You know, certainly not my training as a judge. You don't show your anger. Fear. You know, what's the worst thing? I always say, what's the worst that's going to happen to you? Well, I guess you could die. But, you know, other than that, it's not so bad. And then trouble, we're always going to have trouble. That's just the way of the world. So the reality that we face it, but to, you know, all that, to be too happy, to laugh it off. Favorite movie, one of my favorite movies is The Wizard of Oz. And I see the four of those characters marching through the forest down to see the wizard, hoping against hope. Don't let things scare them. They stick together. They hang together. They get through it. I like to say you may have some tragic happen. You may never get over it, but you will get through it. You'll get to another side, and it will be less painful, and you have people that come around you. But yeah, just sweet, sweet relationships that go back now decades because of Optimist. Again, like I said in the beginning, people I probably never would have met, even though they lived on the other side of town, probably would have never encountered them. And I just, the value they've given to my life, the encouragement they've given me and still do. Whew. I mentioned the Ryans, Roddy and Beverly, married 72 years. 72 years. And it's crazy in love with each other as they've ever been. It's amazing. Beverly passed away a couple of days ago, but what an incredible woman. What an incredible family. Would have never met them. Even though I went to school with their children, who I really didn't know. It's a blessing. Optimism has been a blessing.
Danny, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on and helping us break down this creed and letting people and showing people how to live truly an optimistic and better life.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Shane, very much. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you take advantage. And Teresa, that you take advantage of this medium to put it out there for folks. And so I'm appreciative of you guys, because I know it takes energy and it takes time and it takes talent. So thank you guys for giving your time and your talent to spread the word of optimism. You know, it's, what is the Churchill quote? I don't see a point in being anything else. So thank you.
Please join us in reciting the Optimist Creed with our past international presidents.
Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind.
To talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person you meet.
To make all your friends feel that there is something in them.
To look at the sunny side of everything and make your optimism come true.
To think only of the best, to work only for the best, and to expect only the best.
To be just as enthusiastic about the success of others as you are about your own.
To forget the mistakes of the past and press on to the greater achievements of the future.
To wear a cheerful countenance at all times and give every living creature you meet a smile.
To give so much time to the improvement of yourself that you have no time to criticize others.
To be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to prevent the presence of trouble.
Thank you for listening to this series focused on the Optimist Creed. The Optimist Creed is the official creed of Optimist International adopted in 1922. The creed is something that every member of Optimist International strives to follow. To find out more about the opportunities of Optimist International, please visit our website, or better yet, find a local Optimist club in your area to start helping make the world a better place.